Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to another edition of The Main Course Without Patrick Martins. I am your host, Alexis McLaughlin. Excited to be in studio. We are missing Philip Gilmore. He is in Miami doing a pop-up for Momo Sushi Shack, so we're going to talk to him a little bit later. But in the meantime, we're really excited. We have Montana Masbeck and Chef Nate Cortland in studio from Montana's Trail House. And welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Hi.
Hello.
I can't believe I got your name right. Just
you did. You nailed it.
There was a lot of practice that went into that.
Around 15 minutes.
Well, you know, you can't get it right the first time. It's like making a career out of this.
Focused.
So thank you guys so much for coming and spending a Sunday with us here on The Main Course.
Thanks for having us.
You wanna tell them a little bit about the morning so far? You are enjoying a lovely mimosa.
It's delicious. Ooh. We have the wrong size bottle of tequila.
Yeah, we need to consolidate that. My OCD is kicking in.
Yeah, that's.
We're gonna let's get that in a smaller container.
We could probably fit that in.
Can you
a
marry
pint.
That?
Yeah, we need to marry that.
Yeah.
Get a flask.
I'm actually an ordained minister.
He is. Actually,
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I married Bill and Carmen from the Anchored Inn.
Oh, wow. Do you do?
In Mexico.
Oh, I was going
to
say, are you guys, is Montana's Trail House doing weddings now and other?
We have done a wedding before.
Fair enough.
Yeah, before we had a kitchen.
Before we had running water, actually, too.
We did a wedding party.
Were you guys open? Like, it took you guys a minute to open the spot, but, like, yeah, that
minutes.
Was, yeah. Did someone just need a space? And you're like, well, we don't have running water yet, but...
I mean, I guess we had running water, but we just... It didn't run so well.
We didn't have it just didn't all run the out. Plumbing.
All the plumbing was not...
All the water just ran onto the floor, so...
Okay. Dependable
running
water.
It didn't
go
anywhere. That's the problem. It was good.
It was like our really idiot friend, Matt Marchese, his friends. This guy's just like the worst. And we were like, you know, had to appease him some way.
Yeah, if you see him on the street, punch him in the
face. You know, we were like, all right, fine, Matt. We'll just like, you know, here's your one favor. We'll do this wedding for your friends.
And then... Never again.
No, but we are doing like...
Love you, Matt.
Some wedding stuff and after parties and...
Bridal shower.
Like that.
Really? Bridal showers? Nate, you got like a banquet menu and
no,
stuff
no,
for
no.
people?
No, not at all.
We've done it, though.
We've done it for, you know, good friends and my
and you, if you're out there and you're looking for it, you know.
Anything. Like a banquet style thing.
Go for it. It's
Bushwick. Yeah, I've done too much of that in the past that, no, we're pretty small, so.
Yeah.
It's not a...
No, it's nice.
Kitchen situation. Just go up to the attic and set up, burners.
This table over here, we're in Roberta's.
Burn the place down.
They're really enjoying their drinks. Do you see that? Ooh,
The table in
they're
the,
like
the
chomping
the
their
center.
Ice. Yeah, these four girls right here.
Oh, they were staring at us too when we first came into the
studio. Iced beer?
Came into the studio.
Shandy!
I feel like...
That girl's definitely not 21.
She looks 14.
She's like... Oh, you know what? She's just drinking a glass of syrup anyway, so that's fine. She's
not coffee.
This is what... Oh, let me try some of that.
It's like a family outing. Roberta's, Bushwick. Who would have guessed?
She's
into like a
she's
family
Brandon, she's 21.
Of,
don't worry. You're fine.
Yeah. The ATF really listens to this show specifically.
Oh, man.
For
oh, no.
America's Funniest Home Videos? AFV. They get all the inspiration from this.
No, those ladies were staring at us when we came in the studio. I feel
damn
like
right they were.
Maybe we leave. You guys have a good shot of being like, hey,
yeah, hey, I'm married.
I saw you. Looking
he's engaged.
At star.
Pretty cool that you guys are interested. But
I saw you looking.
We're gonna
at
exit
us.
Out the side door.
All right, so we're bummed Phil can't be here. You and Phil go way back. You've been in the area for a little while, or where did you guys like originally like meet everyone? Because like you came from this group of people that I guess you know had all had roots here, or all have roots here now.
Right. Phil and myself and Brandon Hoy and Chris Barachini and these guys from Roberta's, we all worked together at this this bar in Williamsburg, like early 2000s, and yeah, we were all just bartending together and just partied our ass off at the Royal Oak, which is now that bar oil, over the 8. Shit, Phil, you know what hasn't been said?
A lot and nothing
and not enough. But yeah, we've all known each other for like a really long time, and you know, we're always just so hungover that like none of us could ever cover each other's shifts, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, typical bartender shit. And then I guess you know I don't know if I could tell these stories on the radio.
Yeah, you probably have to abridge a few of them.
I might have to like call my lawyer.
When did the march? Because like Phil is like super into the you know Bushwick and. He's got a really nice community out here. When did the kind of transition come from like Williamsburg to Bushwick into being like the next like, oh, we're gonna now, you know, kind of settle there, do some shit there? Like, were you unable to get away with the same shit in Williamsburg? Like, what brought you guys out here?
Well, I think we were all living out here already. I think it was just that there was no work really so much besides
because it's all
Northeast
industrial.
Kingdom,
I mean, there's most people probably don't know, but like Bushwick is like a pretty industrial area, and it's not
correct
like neighborhood friendly.
Right.
Sorry. I didn't mean to
However, know. The yeah, but no, the rents were cheap, and we were all, you know, here, you know, just trying to get away with a cheap rent, and you know, we knew we'd be able to like you know. Work and survive in Williamsburg, and we were just a lot younger, and I think we were just like kind of just not caring so much about career. And then I think Brandon Hoy was the one that was like, "Hey, I'm opening a pizza place in Bushwick. It's gonna be over here, and it's gonna be real cool." And you're like, "Yeah, dude, whatever. Sounds great.
Good luck with that."
You know, at that time, Brandon Hoy. I think it was me and Brandon, Chris Parachini, Courtney White, who owns Sweet Revenge. Oh, sorry. One Last Shag. And Rick, who worked here at Roberta's.
The Anchor Inn folks, too. Those guys.
Well, Carmen was over there, too. But this is like right when we had, okay. Like, Roberta's was starting. Like, we were, like, at this bar, Sweet Ups. And we saw this, like, 1964 Barracuda, like, parked outside. And we were like, fuck, let's ooh. And it was for sale. And we were like, let's buy this car. At like 2:30 in the morning, so like me and Brandon, all like people I just mentioned, like kind of just all ran home. I remember like running over like to Moore Street, and this is like 2000, like grabbing like $1,000 like in cash, like from like in my drawer, and everyone did the same thing, and we bought this car like 2:30 in the morning, and it was the only time that all five of us were ever in the car together. And then it sat like right here, actually, where this table of underage women are sitting.
Because this used to be a garage.
Because it used to be a garage, and while they were building the whole thing, it sat there. And then, you know, we eventually, I think someone stole it or something.
What do five people do with a car? Although Barracuda, nice choice.
It was great. It was great.
What color?
It was black. It was black. It was. It had a line lock, 3 on the tree. It was awesome. But that, like what I was saying, that was like. Brandon was, you know, hey, yeah, I'm going to go do this. And we were kind of like, cool. And then we saw that happen. And I think Phil was the next one. And it all just kind of started to make sense that this is a neighborhood that, you know, had people living here that had, you know, a palate and, you know, needed somewhere else that was really just for them. And, you know, after Williamsburg was doing what it was doing, it was just – you know, it seemed possible for us to, like, you know, fulfill, you know, our
yeah, absolutely.
Our dreams.
Oh, hopes and dreams. We'll get to fears. We'll get to fears soon.
So, yeah, it was just kind of very natural and organic, I think, how that all happened. And coincidental that, you know, we all just worked the same bar, which is just really funny.
Yeah, and everyone's come out to like, you know, open up their own spot and this and that.
It's the new frontier.
And I think all of them are good. Like, I can't really, like, none of the people that I just mentioned are, like, you know, everyone's, like, bringing, like, 100% of themselves.
Oh, everyone's, like, everything out here is stellar. Like, I work out in Bushwick, so I'm excited. Like, I'm happy to spend, you know, that I'm drawn here other than, like, South Brooklyn or something that I have, like, no affiliation with. But it's, like, I still don't feel like I know the neighborhood, but I can sense that there is this, like, really great community of people, of business owners, of this and that happening. Definitely. And, like, in a way that's still, like, you know, for the people, of the people kind of accessibility.
Yeah, when a place opens up that's not, you can tell right away.
Yeah.
And they
when it's, like, someone from outside of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what, I think
that kind of misses
important.
The mark, and they're like, everyone's like, what is that place, you know? And there's, like, I'm not going to name any names, but, you know.
But it happens.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely a community that's really tight. I've never worked in anywhere that's everybody in the neighborhood, and the bars and the restaurants are so supportive of each other and really, like, helps each other out whenever possible. Realizing that we're all coming up to, like Montana always says, right?
What? Oh, like high tide rises all boats.
Yeah. I love that saying because it's so true.
Yeah.
It's like a destination, you know, if
but I mean 100% like created, because this was, who could have imagined that Bushwick would have been a destination before? Yeah. And like, yeah, Roberta's was
the Talking Heads.
Did they? David Byrne was
David,
like,
Byrne was the first
Bushwickian.
That, like, was like, this seems cool. I'm gonna make music here. And then, like, Andy Warhol and Basquiat were like, we'll back you.
I don't remember those.
They had a place on Johnson Avenue.
Really?
My parents went there back in the day.
Oh, shit. Are you from New York originally?
I am, yeah.
Whereabouts?
Inwood, 215th Street and Seaman Avenue. However, then I, you know, lived upstate and all that stuff. But yeah, original, you know, native Manhattanite.
I went upstate for the first time. I have to preface this. My family came over on a boat from Ireland and then was, like, terrified of bridges. So we never left Brooklyn. We maybe would go out east, but we just never left Brooklyn. So I went, like, upstate for the first time in my life. I'm 28 years old this past winter to visit, like, an Amish community. No way. It was, like, mind-blowing. To sit at a table with, like, you know, the male heads of an Amish community and, like, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
Negotiate some meat sales. It was an experience I didn't think
I'd
ever have.
It was north of the wall.
Yeah.
It was, Wicked farmers, those Amish. Wicked.
But, you know, I gotta say, not, like, upstate, it's a different New York. It's like, it's not any part of New York that I know or that I associate with.
It's beautiful.
It's pretty.
There's just so much up there. There's so much of it, I think. You know, like, New York's such a huge state. You know, when you're like, you think of people that are, you know, farming and making this kind of like country living and this country food, you kind of think of like going down the coast and south. However, there's so much of that, like, that culture just living north and
it's really rural.
It's amazing, you know. Like, I don't know. I lived up there for a long time, and it's really just like after you're pretty much like out of Westchester, northern Westchester, and then you're like, you know, you're in farmland.
Yeah, it's a lot of what it is. But it's interesting. It's beautiful. It's got a nice rolling terrain.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
It's close. See New York.
Experience.
Nate, where are you from originally?
I am from Nogales, Arizona. Yeah, it's actually on the Mexican border.
Okay.
In Arizona. Like, literally on Like, I can see Mexico from my window at home, so.
I lived in a border town, too.
No way.
It was rad. Yeah, I lived in Texas on the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
I lived Brownsville.
Okay, cool.
By Matamoros and Progreso.
Yeah, Matamoros. Yeah, it's...
It was an interesting dynamic.
Yeah,
but, like, Arizona to New York, how do you make that leap? I mean, like, fine dining to...
Yeah, dog tacos to, you know, crepes and whatever else. Now, I moved out here because I was looking for somewhere to do my externship, they call it, at culinary school.
You are loving that table.
She's fixing her hair. Let her do her hair.
She waved.
It looks nice.
I waved back.
It's perfect.
Sorry, Nate. I want to go ahead.
No, it's all right. Anyway, I moved out here because my sister was living out here at the time, going to NYU, and figured I'd crash with her for a while and get some chops in New York restaurants because, you know, I was young and hungry and wanted to see some cool food and just experience New York for a little bit. You know, I was
and
like,
that was the, I mean, New York is a place to be if you're trying to do that, if you're trying to get that experience. I mean, like, now,
yeah,
like other cities, you know, Chicago's
sure.
got a great scene, you know, even LA and San Fran.
Absolutely.
But, like,
but New York is the center.
Yeah,
I mean,
has it.
To get, you know, just the variety of experience in such a short time, you can really see so much. And there's so many amazing cooks and chefs here. It's, you know, what else are you going to ask for? It's like constant energy. So, yeah, it's been 11 years since, so I sucked me in.
Yeah, you stayed.
It's chewing me up. Yeah, I love New York. So,
how did you make your way? Because you were in the city, like, fine dining kind of background. How did you make your way to you know, to Montana, to kind of get that partnership going? Magic.
Yeah, it was magical. It was, you know, the stars aligned and, you know, UFOs traveled and beamed us up together. But I was working at restaurants in Brooklyn, and I was working at EC at the time, and the day I put in my notice, I reached out to a friend of ours, Wes D, if you're out there. Love you, bud.
Over at the Grand Bar and Grill, which is an amazing restaurant out of Grand Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got a great burger.
Amazing. Actually, all the
best
food,
wings.
All their food is
best wings in Brooklyn,
incredible.
No doubt. But I worked with Wes at Aldi La in Park Slope and a couple other spots briefly. But he told me that a bud of his was looking to open a place, and I should talk to him. And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll see. And then met Montana at the space in Bushwick at the old trail house, and it was just kind of like piles of dirt in a garage.
Yeah, it was piles of dirt.
Really?
And I actually walked right by it. I didn't even see it because it was like really unrecognizable.
Pile.
It was like it was just a building on the corner, like rubble.
It is. It's got an interesting corner to it though, where it kind of occupies like a really acute angle on a corner, so it just sort of sticks out like a little point.
Yeah, it's a little 5-point intersection there, so it's a lot of
it's a rad space. I mean, like, I don't know how you guys stumbled on it or if that was part of
it. I had seen it before, and you know, it was like,
how do you get the gall to like say, like, I'm gonna open a spot? That's that place.
There you go.
That's going to be mine. And then I'm going to make people come to it, and we're going to have a great time.
I think for a long time, you know, I think you're not you, me. I'm working in the industry for a long time. I mean, I'm sure this is very familiar thing for a lot of people that are younger and wanting to do the same thing, that you work in the industry and you know, you're kind of like doing your thing, and you're working for someone else, and you realize that these things could be done in a different way, and that maybe like run with a little bit more integrity, a little bit more in personality and actual like organic kind of realness, like bring your roots and like what you are into your whole business, as where I think a lot of people like put up a little barricade or a facade between like what is like really cool and, you know, this attitude and shit. And then it's like, but, or you could just be like a really nice guy and have great people and great food and just make it really like lo-fi.
Yeah.
And like, and just have that experience just at people's fingertips, which is one thing that I think we feel really blessed about, because we were able to cultivate that and, you know, and really realize that. And I think the mentality and the idea of what like the trail house isn't like, it's more of like a mantra than actually like a style of cuisine. It's more of like everyone bringing together, like something like, you know, and helping each other out and feeling like that this is like a,
like reciprocity. So you're, you know, everyone is bringing something to the table. It is that community feeling.
And I think that was, yeah. I think that was realized by watching my predecessors, the older, just a couple years older. Don't worry.
But
Brandon
do
and
this
Phil
better.
And these guys that are a little bit older than me, seeing them do it and really bringing it 100% Phil in Momo, just smiles, greeting people, being there, like, and
Phil is the greatest host in the world.
Brandon Hoy,
100%
Beer bongs,
yeah,
babies, and other things that start with bees.
Pizzas.
and a pizzas. And so I think there was like, you know, and then there were certain things that were just like actual parts of my background and my upbringing that I just really wanted to like bring, that I thought could be something that could be interesting and a very diverse kind of like open-ended menus that we could kind of like look at like America and, you know, it's like upstate, down the coast and into, you know, the Smoky Mountains, and kind of just like grab things that are really interesting. And I think that's what we're doing, and it's always just kind of like this cool melting pot of like creativity that's like goes into the menu and the drinks and all that. So
I do love that idea of like when you buck the system that comes before you, because like, you know, everyone worked at these restaurants that you knew didn't work for whatever reason. They were just, you know, frustrating. The management was frustrating. People would come, but you know that they would just come out of habit, and it wasn't anything that was drawing them. And just seeing that you could do it differently, or knowing, or like, you know, feeling at least connected to this idea that like, oh, I want to like, you know, meet the community and kind of give them something that they'll actually appreciate, that they actually want.
And even if it's just like a nod or something that's like, for instance, like in our cocktails, like, you know, Austin Hartman, who's our beverage director, and Nate and myself, we have all these things kind of like underlyingly in common about these kind of this wellness and how to celebrate kind of like cocktails, but with kind of like a little woven homeopathy kind of like in, like into it, which might sound a little unfamiliar, but, you know, we do a lot of cocktails with herbs that we grow on premises, and, you know, including arnica and stuff like that, that kind of like, so it's kind of like this whole, and that kind of goes into what we're doing with Switchel and that wholesale thing that we're doing.
The Switchel back. That was really interesting. A lot of yeah. Ginger. Some, what is that, like maple syrup? Switchel. I was completely unfamiliar. I didn't know what.
Yeah, it's making a comeback.
I hear that's what Montana's is known for, though.
Yeah, it's our thing, I guess.
Well, it's definitely got that like herbaceous backbone and a lot of. You know, ginger and
look,
just like,
well,
it's such
a
versatile thing that, you know, we make it as a concentrate, so it's really intensely sour and a little sweet and stuff, spicy from the ginger. But we, you know, there's Austin's like just gone crazy with like making amazing cocktails with it and mixing and doing riffs on so many cocktails that are just classic, but then you add this other element of the ginger and the maple syrup and stuff, and it works really well.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, anyone that has a chance to get out to Montana's Trail House, try, if you're a whiskey drinker, I would recommend shot of whiskey with a switchelback.
Yeah, switchback.
I think that's like, I don't know. That's what I was recommended to try by just people I was with. They're like, oh, you gotta you can't come here and not, you know, I had a Coors Banquet and
gotta love the Yellow Belly.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean the switchel itself is just that thing that also when we were getting started and actually I guess we were beyond started. We had done around 8 or 9 months of remedial work to get the tanks out of the ground. The space actually was a gas station. Pull that out. Start talking about switchel, and we start making the stuff. We start drinking it at night while we're also drinking whiskey and beers, and then we're back on site kind of at 8 in the morning, kind of curiously not hungover. Yeah. And you're like, well, that's kind of something else. So, the proof was kind of right there, and that kind of was the thing where you're like, this stuff, you know, let's just, you know, and, you know, we had all had it, and it's kind of been something that is, not really anyone else's version of it, but, you know, been making it, you know, when we were sick or, you know,
an herb tincture
in an everyday sort of thing. And then we really started fucking around with it with cocktails and on its own, and it really has just become kind of one of those things that it's very secondary at this point. I think it's almost strange for us to talk about because we're like, yeah, it's the switchel. Of course, it's the switchel. It's it's like coffee. We do that. You drink it in the morning, you know, so.
But you forget that's not in everyone's vocabulary.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not like
our accountant.
It's like kombucha.
Who's the swizzle. Knows. What is this stuff? I love the swizzle. And he had
Swizzle.
What is it? I love it. Give me the swizzle.
Who is doing your accounting? Gilbert Godfrey?
Pretty much. The best. Pretty much. Mark, wherever you are, God bless yourself.
Mark Cullen.
Mark Cullen. Let me tell you something. He's like,
please call in Mark.
Talks up really sorry. He goes really low. So, but actually, no, now we're doing, you know, we're almost done with our, you know, we have a second space. I don't know if maybe this is the first time anyone's hearing about it, but we have a sandwich shop and swizzle factory. So we're making a bunch of switchel. And we're going to be bottling it, and it'll be in stores. In our store, you could get sandwiches, and it'll be a little grocery store, a little larder kind of thing.
Wow, that's a whole nother production.
It is.
And a whole nother area. Let's go to a quick break, and then we'll be back with Montana and Chef Nate from Montana's Trail House. Talk more about
Swizzle!
Thank you. following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
All right, welcome back to the main course. I am Alexis McLaughlin here with Chef Nate in Montana from Montana's Trail House. I think we have Phil on the line. I don't know, Philip.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yay! Hey. What's up, man? How's Miami?
It's Miami. It's funny. It's you know, you get used to a certain daily rituals and daily thought process in New York City, and then you leave, and then you realize how kind of weird and wonderful New York is. You know,
you're definitely in Miami.
Did you get your asshole bleached yet?
no, I got to
I think
got
that's the
there.
Thing to do there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know a guy in New York.
Nice. You go to Max Club Deuce yet?
What's that?
Max Club Deuce?
No, I basically haven't left the hotel.
I'm
almost back here, so I'm just doing training and stuff. So I haven't really been, you know, doing the party circuit yet.
Yeah.
On your way.
So what have you guys been talking about?
You.
Stuff.
You.
You and stuff and
pretty
things.
Pretty much just you.
How much we miss you. Bushwick, the beginnings, you know, friendship.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not there. I'm happy to have you guys on there. I know we've talked about this for 3 months, so I'm glad it's finally happening. It's, you know, as you guys know, I love Montana's Trail House, and I love what you guys are doing out there. So, yeah, I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Thanks, Phil.
I'm glad that you can call in. We were actually just you have time to stay on the line with us? I don't know
if
you
absolutely.
Have to.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how busy you are now that you're a Miami pop-up star and all.
Yeah.
Time demand.
Yeah, exactly.
We were just getting into I didn't know Montana was talking about the second space you guys are doing. Like, well, one, I mean, like, you're doing all these things in-house, like all of these tinctures, bitter shrubs, everything, and then you're doing the production in Bushwick, and you guys are opening up a storefront for that too.
Right.
That's a lot of work. Like that's a lot of regulation to get past. Or is it not that bad?
Tell you the truth, I mean, from everything that I've learned about the FDA, the DOH is way worse, way more scrutiny.
Really?
That when you go to schedule your FDA inspections. You schedule your FDA inspections. They don't just show up. So you're like, hey, FDA, it's restaurant. We'd like to schedule inspection.
Yeah, it's not as much of a
We're
hustle.
Ready to be inspected
right.
now.
Right, and then they'll come and they'll watch you make these products.
Yeah.
So they're going to actually, instead of just like check it out and like on a random time, you're going to actually go, well, you're going to walk them through the process of how everything's made and like that. And then there you go. Before you even can schedule that, obviously you send your products to get tested.
Phil's dropping his phone.
And then you that's the second stage of that.
Phil and I were talking a few months ago about the eventual move to freezing fish before serving it. That just came out like last week, and that came out before. I think Phil, you were on the road for that, so I haven't seen you.
Wait, is that real? Is that
since?
Is
yeah,
that
no, no, no. Like it actually went in that like you have to free all fish has to be frozen
well,
before
it's
served.
For sushi only.
Yeah, before it's served raw, and I mean like it excludes shellfish and excludes some tunas.
It excludes shellfish, the most dangerous thing to eat when it's bad, right?
Yes.
The one thing
but
that could actually kill you.
The one thing that'll get like yeah, losing a limb from.
Oh, you can serve bad oysters, just not a little raw salmon. That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, that's
crazy.
You
know what the thing is? I've spent my whole life in New York, like cursing the Department of Buildings and the Health Department because they're such a pain in the ass. But then I kind of came to this a few months ago. I kind of came to this realization that it's even though it sucks for me as a restaurant owner, it's also, too, I don't want to live in a city with tens of thousands of restaurants where there's not strict regulations, because think about if they weren't that strict, think about what people would try to fucking get away with.
Absolutely.
That's true,
people
for
that
sure.
are fucking idiots serving, like, poisonous shit to people, you know? So it's kind of like, as bad as I hate the Department of Buildings, too, it's like, if there was no Department of Buildings, you'd be walking down the street and buildings would be falling on top of you, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, and it's definitely this idea that, I mean, competition is there, but, like, the amount of... our petite tequila in studio. I thought it was only fitting. Phil, I mean, because you couldn't be here, I just thought I would try and be a gracious host like I've known you to be.
Aww.
So I brought a...
Montana.
So she brought a gallon of tequila.
Big gulps.
Doing what I can.
Oh shit. Ice it down.
So, yeah, that's all I got. On the fish, like, Phil, are you expecting that to be a hassle? Or, like, things already came to you frozen before. Like, it's just going to be another step in the supply chain?
Yeah, exactly. It's not that big of a deal, you know.
I guess, freezing practices are pretty high-tech these days, so... A lot of fish is probably frozen already.
It's supposed to be frozen anyway, so, you know.
Right. I mean, a lot of the hamachi and tuna and things are flash frozen on the boat already.
I was going to say that, you know, especially tuna, people have this conception of, like, this tuna is so fresh.
Right.
Listen, the tuna they catch are, like, 800 to 900 miles off the shore.
Right.
And... it takes like a day to even get there to fish warm, and it's not like they catch one tuna and then head back. They go out, sometimes and catch like 5 or 6 or 20, and they of course freeze them on board. So it's tuna, all tuna everybody's ever eaten out there has been eventually was frozen, you know?
Yeah, it's all flash frozen on the boat, and it's the way it's done now. It's not like... they go catch a big tuna, come back.
Like, yeah, I guess it's not. I guess it's not like
is the regulation like... in shipping, like it has to be frozen when it shows up to the restaurant. I don't understand.
It just has to be frozen at some point along the supply chain. It has to be flash frozen.
No, it's not that. It's like, I think when you get it has to be frozen.
Right.
Too.
Really?
Wow. What?
See, that's the fucked up part.
That's bizarre.
Because then what do? You got to, like, you know, you can't.
But
you defrost your fish.
That seems so counterproductive. Like,
right, but that's a whole big step. Yeah. That's labor, and you know.
I mean, like freezing and refreezing and thawing out food in general. It's in the practice of that and handling it that you could really taint something and potentially get somebody sick. It's not a silver bullet. Like, all the bacteria's killed. I guess it's maybe because of the condition of the oceans now,
that's a part of it too.
And I'm sure that maybe probably like covering their asses, you know, because of all this shit in the water.
Because everything's getting worse in the waters.
Scary,
like it's the parasites that they're trying to avoid too.
Right.
That's where the flavor is, though. In my
opinion. Yeah, I like
it. Awesome. So just to go back. Montana's Trail House. Where do we find you guys? If someone wants to, I don't know, book a wedding.
445 Troutman Street.
You could call us at 718-966-1666. That's our phone number, and we're located at 445 Troutman Street. Conveniently steps away from the Jefferson train stop. Right past Phil's new spot, High Hello.
It is right next to High
Hello. Oh yeah, you guys are a block, two blocks away from the world famous High Hello.
Yeah, that's right. Best Zabax in Bushwick,
which is wonderful. I was at High Hello and Montana's Trail House last night.
All right.
Oh, were you? Awesome.
Absolutely. Just stop.
A little R&D.
R&D and account maintenance. We sell to High Hello.
Nice.
Did a delivery in the morning. Wanted to make sure it got there all right.
Well, we'll talk about some meat deals later.
There's always meat deals, you know, after the radio.
Off air.
Hey, Alexis, make sure that Nate gets on Goat-tober.
Oh, we will get him some goats.
Goat-tober, yes. That sounds amazing.
Goat-tober.
No, I'm down. I love goat.
We're sending
every,
you goat.
Every goat must go.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I love you guys, man. I guess I'll see you in a few days.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, Phil, man. Have a good time. Go to Club Deuce.
Thanks, Phil. Awesome.
Wear your sunscreen.
Lather it up. Well, I'm really glad that Phil could join us for a moment.
That was nice.
It's always nice to see Phil.
Phil's the man.
You know?
To see him.
It's always nice to see him.
Over the phone. Yeah. Exactly how you want to see
him.
Or
the radio.
Are we on the radio?
Oh, shit.
Did you guys not know what we were doing right now?
I
thought when you put on the headphones, were you just obliging me?
This is like just this cool bar, and we just all talk like this.
Yeah, no, actually, this is going out. People are listening.
No, yeah.
Okay. I mean, my parents are definitely listening.
Really?
I can't guarantee anyone else is listening. Yeah.
All right. Well, hi, parents of Alexis.
Yeah, mom and dad.
Mom, dad.
Thank you guys so much for being here. Is there anything else upcoming or anything else that we should plug while we have you in studio and my parents are listening?
In case
they want to come to anything.
Do your parents like rock and roll?
They love rock and roll. Oh, my God. Great DJ, by the way. Like Waylon Jennings, Hank Sr., I think maybe some Dolly Parton last night. I'm not really sure.
Very perhaps.
Yeah.
But every Saturday in August... we're doing this thing, the Colonel Records Trailhouse Takeover, which is pretty cool. We're doing like bands every Saturday at 3 o'clock. Some just like the best local rock and roll bands that exist.
It's awesome.
From like Daddy Longlegs to Baby Shakes, Hans Condor, Fletcher C. Johnson. It's just going to be really cool. We're going to do this whole series out on the patio at 3 o'clock. So it'll be outdoor shows with a little barbecue. That'll be every Saturday in August. So that'll be fun.
Awesome.
Also, one thing I want to plug just real quick is we'll be doing a CSA pickup for a new farm upstate Black Dirt region. Best produce around Dirty Boots Farm. Girl Shayna.
That's awesome.
Is... got this farm off the ground and it's really growing some amazing stuff. So we'll be doing a CSA pickup.
Only in Bushwick do you go to Montana's Trail House to grab a shot of tequila and favorite.
Grab some swizzle and some and kale and whatever else.
Yeah,
and some
anything mandolin else green. That's regional. That's
every Sunday.
Fresh.
So buy some shares. You can contact us about that and help support our...
Awesome.
Farmers.
Well, Sundays and Saturdays. Definitely Saturdays. I will be seeing you guys.
Yeah, it's gonna be
awesome. It's gonna be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the main course. I appreciate you guys spending your Sunday with me. And happy Sunday, everyone.
Thank you.
Can we finish this bottle of tequila?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.